see the curtains hanging in the window in the evening of a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's all right. Summer breeze. We have FWC has mobilizing boats. All our high water vehicles that were staged are now out pulling people that have tried to go through flooded intersections and out of these houses.
Yeah, Brad Baker there, Santa Rosa County Emergency or Public Safety Director, talking about yesterday doing rescues all along through the southern portion of the county on the Sound side, also on East Bay. As you heard, the high water vehicles, it's just been a mess, and trying to make sure that lives are saved has been the number one priority. Joining us now, we have the City of Gulf Breeze City Manager Sam Abel is on the line. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So we've been talking, focused a lot on Escambia County because Escambia got definitely got the brunt of it yesterday, but obviously Santa Rosa had a few issues, and we've got some notes in from Gulf Breeze. What is the current status? What's been going on in Gulf Breeze last day?
So Gulf Breeze, just like, you know, both areas of the county, in the immediate aftermath of the storm, we had all power out. Of course, we have significant debris, and the debris, really, there was no area that was unaffected. We did, of course, have areas of localized flooding and vulnerable areas that we thought could be made vulnerable if, in fact, the rain forecast, you know, exceeded that 100-year flood model, which, in fact, it did. And so we had staged pumps out across the city in areas that we had identified. Some of those pumps were overwhelmed initially. And so until about 11 o'clock, Andrew, Tuesday evening, our crews were still outside in hurricane force winds, working those pumps through the evening to try to get that water table down as low as we possibly could. Of course, at a certain point, we just had to pull everyone back and then go and survey the damage. And it was incredible at 11 o'clock that night, as we drove around with our headlights, there was no water in yards other than our tidally influenced properties. But obviously, being on the east side of that storm wall, you know, that changed significantly between 4 and 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And so it just was a game changer for us. But yet, by late afternoon, continuing to work the pumps, most of that water had abated.
Wow.
And so we're down to just, you know, some localized few areas. Today is the day where we're addressing that second wave of course, any post-disaster response. And that has to do with debris removal. We do have a debris removal contract for natural disasters. And so we have already mobilized our football field, removed the fence, worked on some ingress, egress. We're pouring gravel now for the trucks that will be coming in. We're asking all of our residents to have three piles by the road of vegetative debris, then the, you know, demolition, construction debris from any roofs or other type of damage, and then your white goods such as appliances. Our residents are outside. Many of them are already getting started on that. What we're working on, Andrew, is obviously the garbage issue.
Right.
Because garbage, you know, was canceled this week in anticipation of high winds. We didn't want any projectiles, and we did receive a force majeure pursuant to the term of our contract. Our Republic Services just can't get to us when we had barges take out essentially every bridge, all bridges having to be assessed for damage. And so we are right now working on making sure everyone has pressure for drinking water that has affected Escambia and Santa Rosa, making sure that we have a plan for just household garbage pickup in the interim, and making sure that debris pickup is starting this morning.
Where you said the football field, you mean, clarify that for me. You're actually using that as a staging area, dumping area? What's happening there?
So we're a peninsula city, which means that we're built out.
Right.
We don't have a lot of land as it relates to making sure that these, you know, big trucks, which are necessary in order to clear debris quickly, make sure that they're getting in and out. We don't have a large lay-down yard inside our city limits. And so when we have had natural disasters in the past, we have had to use our football field. Our team got together 2 days ago and really identified that's just the best, unfortunately, it's the best place again. And so we are converting our football field to the debris lay down yard so that we can get the debris as quickly as possible. When I say debris, Andrew, we are unfortunately talking about very large mature trees. We have had significant tree damage inside the city. A lot of those beautiful mature trees have fallen on homes and driveways. And so it's imperative that we help our residents remove those from the driveways. We did not have as much debris block our roadways. It was primarily private property damage. And so we'll be working today with our debris monitor to make sure that we're kind of moving all of the, whether it's structural damage or debris, putting it in piles on the football field. And then the next thing is going to be where to haul it to, Andrew. And that's the other issue with our household garbage as well. We're sitting here with a team and we're coming up with a game plan. Because obviously when, you know, the bridges are affected in Europe Peninsula, that is going to be the second wave, and it's important that we have a plan in place.
Yeah, well, that was the thing I was definitely going to ask you about. We're talking to Sam Abel, city manager for Gulf Breeze. How has the outage of both 3 Mile and, of course, Garson Point, hopefully more temporary Garson Point, how has the unavailability of those bridges begun to affect city operations and even, as you pointed out, future operations, as those are the ways you get things out a lot of times?
Well, so with post-disaster response, there's the immediate life safety issues, and we have confirmed with our residents that those needs are being met. We converted our recreation center to what we called a safe harbor or a hub, which was a place that we had less than a dozen residents who did not do the voluntary evacuation and needed to be evacuated during the storm. We were able to either relocate them or bring them to the recreation center, which also was a place for our service workers. We wanted to make sure that as a peninsula city that our technicians and service workers weren't caught outside the city and not able to get in. So they stayed here and several different hubs, primarily the recreation center, so that they would be available immediately after the winds abated, and we were able to serve them food in the kitchen. So that was the first wave. The second wave now, Andrew, as it relates to the bridge, is we are looking to see where our pharmacy is going to be open. We have assisted living facilities. We have seniors who are going to need their medication. We are communicating with our hospitals, with our emergency room to see how that's going to impact them and our residents. And then, of course, household garbage. Our residents are going to need medications, access to care, and they're going to need to be able to remove their household garbage as well as their debris. We were prepared for the debris removal. We had a contract already in place that we renew annually. That person was mobilized from Mobile, came over yesterday. You know, obviously took the long way on 87 to be here, but the garbage and receiving the force majeure, you know, obviously Escambia and Santa Rosa are going to be in the same position. So we're going to need to get together and figure this out.
You know, I was just talking earlier this morning with Janice Gilley, the Escambia County Administrator, and I asked her what they were looking at for alternative plans, anticipating a fairly long-term outage for 3 Mile Bridge. And she, you know, without endorsing this as a plan, she said, well, you know, when the bridge was damaged in the past or, you know, island communities sometimes subsist by ferry, you know, as a temporary solution, getting people back and forth, you know, it's hard to think about that becoming the way we move at least people, if not obviously cars across. But, you know, do you guys have any ideas for what the plan is going to be for, I mean, everybody gets across that bridge all the time.
Right. So where we are right now, boots on the ground, is we are still working on the life safety, obviously, medication, debris, and garbage.
Right.
But what you're talking about is those longer, you know, horizon issues when people are ready to get back to work, which obviously is going to be happening, you know, next week,
right.
You know, longer term. And we actually did, our Mayor Pro Tem Tom Mayo last night suggested ferries to me individually, and also our prior mayor and longtime city attorney, Matt Danheiser, reached out to Mayor Terry Fitch, and the two of them were also conversing about the idea of ferries. So it sounds like all minds are going in the same direction, you know, pretty quickly.
Right.
Skanska created this problem. It is just unparalleled to have something of this magnitude, which affects the entire southern portion of, you know, two counties. I mean, really affects the entire panhandle economy. And so that is going to have to be mobilized very quickly. I don't see another option besides a ferry. You know, it certainly there would be concerns with rushing too quickly on the Bay Bridge and making sure that there would be lasting integrity once that traffic does open back up, Andrew.
Right. I mean, that's where I'm at, too, is, you know, the road surface is, I mean, that is a long term from this point of view. You can't, we're not going to go a month to 2 months without getting people across that bay. That's
right.
And so it's got to be something. The question is, what's the best something? And I haven't heard of better than a ferry as a solution. So, hey, last question for you, Sam. Just as a comparison note, we've now had, what, 2 500-year floods in 6 years. And I'm just curious, you know, I know the city has been doing an enormous amount of work to try to plan for future water mitigation, especially down, you know, around the loop where the community center is and all those houses in that area. How did the improvements perform? How did the neighborhoods do in this rain event compared to the prior rain event in 2014?
Well, Andrew, I'm going to hold off on giving the city a report card yet, and I'm going to let our citizens give us that report card. I will tell you what I'm hearing from citizens this morning, and it is humbling, but we need to focus on the immediate aftermath and continuing to prepare for our citizens. So I'm not at the point where I want to share, you know, with you the positive sentiments that I'm hearing from residents.
Sure.
We appreciate it very much, but we have not been able to complete our damage assessment report. I can only say to you that we're very grateful from the feedback that we're getting from our citizens, but we're not gonna pause now to do that assessment. We've still got more work to do.
All right. Well, I understand that answer, and certainly focus on the task right at hand, and we'll talk about other things as we go. Sam Abel, she is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Always very good information. Sam, thanks for what you do. Thanks for keeping our people safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.